Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about sugar and how it impacts our health. And with me is Troy Duell, health educator and founder of Centurion Labs. And Troy, thanks for being with me today.
Absolutely. Excited to be here, Maria.
Troy, you know, I've been dieting, and I don't have a hard time putting aside the bread and other things like that, the carbs. But when it comes to sugar, sugar is such a tough one for me, and I know it's tough for all of us. But let's begin, first of all, and just talk about what is happening in this country and how sugar consumption is impacting our health.
Sugar is an addiction in this country, for sure. And what we know is, on average, adults consume about 77 grams of added sugar per day, which equals to about 60 pounds per year. So some big numbers there. But kids eat even more at 81 grams per day, which is about 65 pounds per year. And to put that in perspective, the American Heart Association recommends that we only get about 24 grams per day for women and 36 grams per day for men. So we're almost doubling, more than doubling in some cases, the amount of sugar that we should have in our diet. And it comes in so many different ways. But, you know, it has a huge impact on our health. And it's not just from the standpoint of added calories or obesity, which I think we all can see and recognize that, hey, this isn't good for us because it's going to cause us to gain weight. But there are so many other things that go into it.
I think the tough part with sugar is, too, that it's found in so many foods that we don't even think of. I mean, they're not dessert foods. It's in dressings. It's in bread. I mean, it's in all sorts of things that we wouldn't even consider sugar to be in.
Exactly. And that's one of the key pieces to this whole thing, is this added sugars piece. And added sugars are where we get into the biggest dilemma within our diet, because, as you said, tomato sauces, breads, salad dressings, and really probably the biggest culprit is within our drinks themselves. So if you're drinking sodas or any type of coffee or tea that has sugar in it, that's one of the largest culprits and hidden places where sugar tends to raise its ugly head in our diets, for sure.
Right. And we're talking about sodas. I think a lot of people think, hey, I'm drinking the zero calorie soda, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have some form of sugar in it.
Yeah. And even if it's zero calorie, most of us would think, hey, that's a great thing because you're not getting as many calories, which in theory, that's good. But what they've done is they've made these artificial sweeteners sometimes up to 700 times more sweet. And we know from studies that sugar, when it gets into our system, highlights in our brains the same dopamine release that somebody who's an addict to drugs or alcohol or whatever addiction of choice is there. It lights up that same part of the brain. Well, these sweeteners or artificial sweeteners do the same thing, because they're actually 600 to 700 times more sweet than sugar. So they're going to light up that system even more so. And we know that there are certain health conditions that artificial sweeteners aren't good for. Like we know that if you consume a lot of artificial sweeteners, that there's an increased risk of obesity, increased risk of hypertension, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, there's increased cancer and kidney disease. And I think the one that probably shocks people the most when you go through that list is the fact that it increases obesity. And we think we take these things to decrease that, but what they found is it increases the cravings that people have after you have some type of diet drink or low-calorie or low-carb foods that they market to us.
Yeah, let's talk for a minute about that addictive property in sugar. I mentioned that I've been really watching what I'm eating, and I eliminated sugar and all sorts of fats and some of the carbohydrates, but I've been fine until somebody pulls out the brownies. And then something in my brain goes, oh my gosh, I really want that brownie. So what is it about this addictive property of sugar?
Well, I mean, studies have shown, like I mentioned, that it lights up that part of the brain that releases dopamine. And dopamine is that pleasure part of our brain that anything we do that we enjoy, that's when dopamine gets released in our system. So sugar lights that up as though it is one of the most potent drugs that we could have. I think they did some studies between cocaine and sugar, and they were similar in the release and the triggering of that area. So, and the difference with added sugars versus those natural sugars, I think, is where most people get it wrong. So, or we get confused, I'll say, because with natural sugars, we know that there are sugars in apples and fruits, other fruits like oranges and things like that, and they're sweet. But what happens is you've got everything else that kind of combines with it, that then our body is able to take it and process it more slowly. These added sugars that come into our system go straight through our bodies. They get into our bloodstream more readily, and that's what creates this burst of sugar high, if you will.
Right. We've talked about the physical health impacts of sugar, but how does it affect our mental health?
You know, it's interesting because there are some that are now coining sugar or dementia to be called type 3 diabetes because it is so linked to sugar intake. And we know that sugar increases inflammation, and inflammation is one of the issues that happens with cognitive decline and dementia itself. And more studies are linking high sugar intake to dementia and depression and other things along those lines, which I think comes as a shock for most of us, because I think oftentimes, like you said, when the brownies come out, that's when we put a smile on our face and we think, wow, if we eat these things, we're actually going to feel better. But the truth is, long term, it's causing us to go into depression and go into dementia because of the inflammatory effects that sugar has.
Well, they only make you feel better for a few minutes while you're eating them. And then
that is very true.
So you mentioned that most people would be shocked to find out how it is impacting our mental health. Are there some other common misconceptions that people have about sugar?
Yeah, I think, again, most of us have been taught that it's definitely linked to obesity. I think most of us could see the link to diabetes, but that's where I think we typically stop. The inflammatory properties of it, I think, is probably the most damaging piece, but it also increases our blood pressure. It increases the risk of heart disease. It increases cholesterol, where it reduces the good cholesterol in our bodies and increases the bad cholesterol. We know that cancer actually, if you have cancer and you start to eat more sugar or you eat sugar, that it actually feeds that cancer and speeds it up. We also know that there are links to infertility, believe it or not. And I think more and more we're seeing links to fatty liver disease and other things along those lines that I think most of us would go, it doesn't make any sense that fatty liver disease would be there. We think fatty liver disease and drinking too much alcohol. But alcohol, as you are aware, is pretty much turned straight to sugar when it gets into your body. And they've linked the same to be the case with high sugar intake. So those are some things to me that are somewhat surprising when you think about the impact that sugar can have. You know, there was a study that I came across that I thought was really, really interesting. It said if you consumed more than 6 servings of soft drinks per week, there was an 83% higher risk of liver cancer.
Wow.
And I'd say most people probably consume 6 servings of soft drinks a week, in our culture at least.
Wow. I'm glad soft drinks aren't my thing. Brownies, maybe, soft drinks, not.
That's right.
This podcast is all about giving people some small changes that they can make in their life that are going to make a big difference. So give us some effective strategies. Help us out here. How can we really effectively reduce the amount of sugar that we are consuming?
I think the first thing that we have to do is really start taking in the labels that we're eating and just start paying attention to it. You know, I think the other thing that we have to get out of the habit of is looking at natural sugars versus artificial sweeteners. If I were to have to pick based on some of the studies that I'd seen, and we just did a deep dump on sugar itself. But the truth is those artificial sweeteners are probably worse than sugar is. So finding ways to moderate it, get those natural sugars in your system to satisfy that sweet tooth, which would be any fruits or vegetables, cherries, strawberries, apples, blueberries, anything like that. Look at your labels and see which ones are higher in sugar and go after those that have reduced sugar in them without artificial sweeteners. And look for alternatives that you can start putting into any of your meal prep or planning, like coconut sugar. Raw honey is actually a better alternative than just regular sugar. Maple syrup, molasses, and stevia, as well as monk fruit, those have shown to help satisfy the sweet tooth. You can use them as substitute sometimes, but also be aware that a lot of the stevia that you get is not pure stevia. It's typically going to be mixed with some of those sugar alcohols like erythritol or maltitol or something like that. And then really where the biggest issue comes in is just the fact that we're having so much processed foods these days, and any processed food that you get is going to be higher in sugar, higher in sodium. So that's one thing that you can do is take away those pre-prepared meals and pre-packaged foods that you're eating and reduce that number, and I think you'll be well on your way to cutting into the sugar addiction that we have. And of course, stop the soft drinks and the sugary additions in your coffee and other things like that. And that'll go a long ways. And it may be that you just reward yourself with one a week as opposed to one a day with some of those drinks.
Troy, before I make sure people know how to find out more about you and your work, any final thoughts that you would like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think it's all about taking ownership of your health and understanding that, hey, these are small things that we can do to really have a huge impact on your health. And again, sugar is a big piece of obesity, but so many other things, as we already discussed. And really making those subtle changes, I think, will set you up and your health in a much better place that if we ever go through something like we did in 2020 again, people will be much better off with their health and have a greater opportunity to get through something like that in a better fashion.
Troy, how can people find out more about you?
You can go to centurionlabs.com. That's CenturionLabs.com. Or you can listen to any of our podcasts at Frontline Health.
Troy, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Absolutely, Maria. Enjoyed it.
My guest today has been Troy Duell. He's a health educator and the founder of Centurion Labs. And thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. You can find out more great health and fitness tips at Let's Get Moving with Maria on Facebook. And on Instagram, you can find us at Moving Maria. Have a great day.